Yep.
So mm-hmm. she's coming home.
First, he's worked the past couple of things.
He's in there.
He found him.
All right. All right, well, why don't we open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. So, dear Lord, we thank you for this day and the beautiful weather and the people that we have here, and I pray that we can open our ears to your word and that we can come before you in fear and accept what you have to tell us and teach us. Amen. All right. So, today I thought we'll talk about our hope. And there's, you know, a lot of, you look at the news and there's a lot of crazy stuff in the news and it can kind of get you down. You want to keep your mind on the, what's important and what the scriptures tell us. And anyone know who this guy is? who is this Bob Hope? Who is he? He was, I don't even really know who he was. Probably my grandparents.
He's a comedian.
Hey, we got a, my grandpa's a comedian. He's got lots of jokes from Branson. Yeah. You got any jokes you want to tell?
No. we not this time.
Yeah, every time he comes, they come through from Branson, he's got all types of jokes. But anyways, all kidding aside, we'll get into the verses here. So let's start just with some verses. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 12. So hope is important to have. My grandma brought this verse up last night to me, and if you don't have hope, you know, it's something that God wants us to have. And so Proverbs 13, verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Okay, so if you don't have hope, if it's deferred and not with you, it's going to affect your heart and make your heart sick. And I have this picture of this quarterback kneeling at the end of the football game. We all know what happens at the end of the football team when the other team runs out of time and the quarterback kneels. If you're the opposing team, you know that, you know, your hope of winning is kind of gone at that point. And that never puts a good feeling in your heart when you're the other team's kneeling down. So hope is important to have. But we want to know where to put our hope and who to put our hope in. And the Bible tells us. So let's go to Psalms chapter 119, verse 49. We'll just go through a few verses here. Psalms 119, 49. We'll read a couple verses in this chapter. So remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Okay, so what is he hoping in here? It's the word of God, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Let's go to verse 81. We're going to kind of see some of the same things here. So verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in what? Thy word. Okay, it's the word of God that we want to put our hope in. But same thing in verse 114, same chapter. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Okay, and we don't want to put our hope in feelings. A lot of people say, I've got a really good feeling about this, you know, and then, you know, that's not the way to do it. It's the word of God that we want to put our hope in. Okay, let's go to verse 116. Psalms 119, verse 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. And he's saying here, keep your promise, so that I might not be ashamed. And you know what? God does keep his promises in his word. We've all probably had times where we've been hoping for something, and then it doesn't come true, and you feel kind of disappointed and maybe even embarrassed if you really thought it was going to happen. I know going through my training, you're, you know, making applications for schools and you think you might get it, or they tell you you're going to get it and you don't, and you're kind of disappointed. Or if you're hoping for a gift for, you know, your birthday or Christmas, and then it's not there, you're kind of, you might feel embarrassed or ashamed. But when we hope in the word of God, you won't feel that way, and you want to know exactly what words in the Bible you're putting your hope in, so that you're not ashamed and embarrassed in the end. Let's go to verse 80, Psalms 119, verse 80. So same thing. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Okay? Everyone's trusting in something, and everyone's putting their hope in something. And we want to put our hope in the statutes and be sound in them. I just want to talk just briefly here about more about what it means to be ashamed, okay, when you put your hope in the wrong thing and what it feels like. And we'll go to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9, verse 6. So it's just a couple books back from Psalms. We got 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and then Ezra chapter 9, verse 6. So this is Ezra talking about the sins of Israel, and he says, and said, "O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God." So you can kind of picture him, he's blushing, his face is down, he's not lifting his head up because he's ashamed. Okay, that's what, "For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens." And Israel was not putting their hope and trusting in God's word, and they were ashamed. And this is not something that we don't have to feel, because we can put in our hope in something that will come to pass. And I have this picture of this dog here. If you have a pet and you've come home to a dog that's done something bad, we all know the dog knows that they've done something bad, and they put their head down and they kind of, you know, are ashamed. Dogs can feel that way, and it's not the way that we want to feel like. We want to feel, we'll see. Well, the verses will show us how we want to feel. Let's go to Psalms chapter 34, verse 4 and 5. Psalms chapter 34, verse 4 and 5. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were not lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." So you see how God connects, you know, your face, where the person who was ashamed, they were blushing, and their head was down, and this person, their face is not ashamed. And when we go to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 and 7. This is the Lord speaking when he was on the cross. And let's see what he says about his face and his shame. "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Okay? So here we see the Lord's face on the cross was set like a flint. And flint is a really hard stone that is used for tools and things and for arrowheads. And when you're trusting in the Word of God, you can lift your head up high. You don't have to be ashamed and have your head bowed down. And that's how we want to be as we hope in the right thing, which is His Word. And we'll see that. Here's a song that came to mind, Standing on the Promises. I don't know if you know this song, but it's a hymn, you know, "Standing on the Promises of God." I'm not going to sing. Maybe someone else could sing, you know, but you know, a lot of these hymns are based upon you know, the verses and the truth here. So let's go to kind of getting into our hope for now, let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 19 through 21. So now this is Paul talking. So Paul's in jail here, and he's gone through some hard times, and the prisons back then were not very nice. If you Google like pictures of medieval prisons, you know, it's a lot of, you know, yucky stuff that they're having to sit in and smell and things like that. And it would be very easy to be very down in that situation and to kind of feel, you know, like you did something wrong. You like that dog in the picture, you're kind of ashamed. But Paul, let's see what he says in that situation. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, and he's talking about the prayers and the help from the saints and things. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so Paul, he had hope that God was going to deliver him from this, give him salvation in his inner man in this situation to overcome the despair that he was facing. And how was God going to help him in the end of verse 19? It was the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And he had hope that Christ was going to be with him through, you know, all these trials that he was going through. And that he was not going to be ashamed in the end. And so you can, you know, imagine Paul in prison. He probably had his head, you know, the word of God lifted him up so that his head was lifted up high in that prison. He wasn't like this guy sitting in the jail cell, you know, holding his head, feeling ashamed. He was hoping in the word and knew that the Spirit was with him to lift him up and to give him that inner man, that inner salvation during that time. Because let's see what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
I think, too, as I look at that picture, it's probably of someone that is there because of their deeds, and mm-hmm. they are ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul resting on the truth, the knowledge that where he was and that finishing the sufferings of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That there would be glory in his suffering
mm-hmm.
for others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't have the guilt of that.
He had a clear conscience.
Yeah.
He had a clear conscience
right.
about it. And he knew he was there for Christ.
Sure.
And all right, we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And he had hope in the Spirit, that the Spirit, and he had hope in the grace and the doctrine. And 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And so Paul had hope and knew that the grace of God was sufficient for him, that when he was weak, that Christ would strengthen him. He did not have hope that God would cause the obstacles to not be there. You know, I hope that I don't, you know, this doesn't happen to me or that doesn't happen to me, or I hope that this comes or that comes. These things are just going to happen just because of life. But Paul had hope in the scriptures that as these things happen, that his grace was sufficient to help him through it. And that's the key. A lot of people put their hope in physical things that God is not controlling. rather than putting the hope in the scriptures and our inner man of how he is working in us today. And that's kind of the main point that I wanted to make, is that Paul was in this terrible physical situation, but his hope was in the power of the Spirit and in the sufficiency of his grace and in the doctrine to uplift his inner man, to deliver him. And kind of like this guy on the ground there, his teammates lifting him up, and that's the grace of God, you know, is sufficient to lift us up when we're down. And you're going to get knocked down no matter what. The game's, you know, going to go on, but when it stops, you know, God will be there to lift you up. He's not going to, you know, sometimes we fall down because of our own mistakes. Sometimes we can't control it, but the grace of God, we can hope that, we know that it's going to be there for us to lift us up. Let's go to Romans chapter 15.
I think it's part of the problem with religion today is that people confuse wants with hope. Because hope is a certainty that God has declared to us that we can trust in. But a lot of people just, they want it, and therefore they declare it. And it's not the same thing.
People want all sorts of things.
Sure.
And it's all what... it's all individual too. It doesn't. It has nothing to do with what God actually, you know, wants or is doing, wants to do for you.
Right. And it's like the whole Joel Osteen mentality about your best life now, and it's about these physical blessings. And again, it's the world taking what God gives us as hope and replacing it with wants. It's subtle, but it happens all the time.
When I got done with this morning, I had to listen to 10 minutes again.
Did y'all all sick?
I almost got sick.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people like that, you know. Oh, I'm going to get that bonus at work or this or that. If you know, that feels good, but they'll be ashamed because it's, you know, if it does happen, it's not because of God. And when it doesn't happen, yeah. Let's go to Romans 15:13. All right, Romans 15:13. All right, so now where do we get where? So we know. So let's just read the verse here. So now the God of hope. So God is a God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See that word there, in believing? And that's how we get filled, is by in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And this is only something that can happen and save people who have the Holy Ghost. And it's by in believing. And we're going to look at what we want to believe in and the scripture and the doctrine that... the words that we want to believe in, because it's always the words that bring the hope. And you want to know what words you're believing in, and that's why right division is really important. But you know, I have this picture of the, you know, filling up your car with gas. And how often do you have to fill up your car with gas? For me, it's probably once a week or so. And but the point is, you have to keep, you know, filling it up, because you get beat down and you need, God is always there. He's an unlimited gas tank. You know, you see those big gas tanks on the road, you know, full of gas, and his is, has an infinite amount of, it's probably a million wheeler going down the road with, you know, lots of, you know, the hope to fill you up. So, and we can abound in hope, and you have to fill yourself up. You have to squeeze that handle. You know how you squeeze that handle? You open the Bible and go to these words, and that's how you fill yourself up with that hope. And and then so the words are important. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11. So we don't want to forget that. You know, now we're going to kind of get into right division now and what words we want to put our hope in. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. So wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time So in the age of where God was dealing with Israel and the law, that at that time you were without Christ. Remember, Christ is a God of hope. We didn't have him. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So now things are changed, and the only reason that things are changed and we can have hope is because of the blood of Christ. And we're going to see that it's the cross and the gospel is where we want to put our hope, and it's those words. And before, I have this picture here. You know, this was Israel, and God was working with Israel and giving all his promises and hope to Israel. And as Gentiles, we were on the outside of that and had nothing to do with his hope. And that was in time past. But things have changed now. And a lot of people still want to go back to that time and claim a lot of those promises and how God was working. But they don't understand that at that time, as Gentiles, we had nothing to do. We didn't have hope. And it was totally different than it is now. And that's why God says, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made now by the blood of Christ. And it's that blood of Christ now that's going to allow us to come into the God of hope and be filled as we believe the doctrine that Paul has given us. And so now we can have, you know, let's read more about what Paul's going to reveal to us about the but now period. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8. So now Paul's going to come on the scene, and he's going to introduce something new here, okay? That's going to give us hope. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now look at this word, but. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Before we just read the Gentiles were without hope, but now Paul is preaching the gospel, which is going to bring this immortality and eternal life to us, which is a brand new thing. In verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, as we've seen, nevertheless I am not ashamed. And why is he not ashamed here? For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul had complete confidence in the word of God. And you know what? When you understand that Christ saved you from hell and an eternity in the lake of fire and paid for all your sins, how could you not have hope that he's going to keep you for the rest of eternity? And when you, it all starts with the gospel and the cross of where your hope starts. And that's where your eternal hope starts, is about your faith and what he did for you on the cross. Where we read in Ephesians how it was by the blood of Christ that we were made nigh. And it's by that blood of Christ that saved us for eternity. And so Paul, and there's lots of reasons why Paul was persuaded that Christ could keep him. And that he had hope that, you know, I'm going to get over this thing and I'm going to get knocked down again. And you know what? He's going to be there for me. And you know, he had complete persuasion that Christ would be with him. But it all starts with your faith. It all starts with the gospel. And the gospel is what was given to Paul to bring out this hope to the Gentiles. And your belief in that. And that's where it all starts. Because it comes down to, the gospel is going to come down to, are you putting your hope in yourself? or are you putting your hope in Him for your salvation? And if you make that decision to trust the gospel, things are going to be okay for you, because then the Holy Spirit is going to enter in, and as you study and grow, it's going to help you through. Let's go to Titus chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. So, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So this life that we have, that is now being manifested, God, just like we read, I'll just read it real quick. In 2 Timothy 1, 9, it says, "This His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And this eternal life, which was promised us, it was promised to us before the world began. But now, in Titus 1, chapter 3, it says, "But hath in due time manifested," now it's coming to light, "His word," see that word there? It's His word, "through preaching," Paul was preaching, "which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." So it's this, it's the words that Paul is preaching in the gospel that is now bringing this eternal hope to light for us. And it's so important to understand right division and what words you're believing in, because if you're in the time past period when we were without hope in Gentiles, and you have to understand how God is now delivering His message through Paul. And that's where your hope is going to start. And this passage is a lot of the same words or parallel words to the one we just read. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. So I had this picture here of how the gospel and Paul, how we were in this dark room as Gentiles. And when it says that, I'll read it again in for, it was 2 Timothy. It said, "Who hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And when God gave Paul the gospel, He opened up the door of salvation, and the light just shown can shine in, and it can shine into your heart and give you that hope. But you have to trust and believe in the words, and that's how it will happen. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. So when we talk about hope, a lot of times we think about hope that's coming in the future. Like, I hope that, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Or I hope that, this or that is going to happen in the future. But we can take advantage of this hope and this life and this eternal life right now. When you're sitting right, and I can do it right now as I'm standing right here, and we are doing it. We're taking advantage of the hope that we have right now. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Okay, so we have this eternal life that we can have right now, this very moment, as the Spirit works in us, and the hope of the life that will come for us after we pass out of this life. And we can abound today, and there's enough for each and every one of us to go around. And we all have excuses of, what's going on, of why, we, aren't taking advantage of these promises. But it's there for you whenever you want to take advantage of it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 19. And this is just talking, again, just another verse to show that we have hope right now. 1 Corinthians 15:19. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And this is saying how we have hope now in this life. We have hope in Christ. And we would be miserable if we didn't have hope to come. But we have both. And we have all because we have Christ. And God is the God of hope. And we're in the body of Christ. We're in Him. And you can't get away from it. It fills every part of you. And if we go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Colossians 1, 5 through 7. So for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Okay, and we're going to talk more about this, but our hope is in heaven. A lot of people, where do they think their hope is? You know, with the kingdom. If you go to lots of churches, it's all about, you know, that kingdom come and about it being on earth. And Israel's, that was where Israel's hope was. And they were promised the land and the land of Canaan and all those things. And that's not where our hope is. Our hope, because of what Paul tells us now that we're in the body of Christ, it's in the heavenly places. And for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, and whereof ye heard, see how that word heard with your ears? You got to be listening. Where do you hear it? Before, in the word of the truth of the gospel. See that word gospel there again? It all starts with the gospel. And you're hearing those words, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day what ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Okay, so you can have hope now, and it's come to us because of the gospel which was given to Paul. And you have to go to Paul's words is where we need to get our hope from. And we can be sure. So we're going to talk about the earnest of the Spirit. The hope that we have, it's something that we can really be assured of 100% that we have it. And it's because God has given us something, and that's His Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, what happens to you? Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, okay, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So this is a really great verse that really just clarifies the salvation process so simply. You hear the word of truth, and after that ye believed, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And it's that simple. You hear the truth, you believe it, you're good. And when we get this Holy Spirit, what does it say that this Spirit is? It's the earnest of our inheritance. What is an earnest? I've never bought a house. But I know that what is something you do when you buy anything, you know, that's kind of a little bit of money, a down payment.
And it's good faith that you intend to go through with the transaction.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you say, this car, it's going to cost you $3,000. But I don't know about you. I know you. I've heard stories about you. I want to really be sure that you're going to give me, the $3,000 in the end. Why don't you give me, $500 to prove that, you're going to give me the final payment. And that $500 would be an earnest. It would be a kind of a down payment, kind of a proof that the final payment's going to come, that you're capable. And that's what God says the Spirit is, as it works in us and helps us. That's kind of His proof and His earnest that He's going to keep us until that day, as Paul said. And so that What is this here on this cow? I'm not a farmer. We didn't grow up on a farm, but...
Is that a brand?
A brand. Yeah.
Ownership.
Is it easy to... Why do they brand cows? Yeah, if they run away or lose them, they know who it belongs to. And is it easy or hard to get a brand off? Yeah, it's probably pretty difficult. It's permanent. Yeah, it's permanent. And that's like what the Holy Spirit is to us. It's a brand. It's permanent. Nothing can get it off. And it's His...
It denotes ownership.
That's correct. Yep, He's bought us. And so let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans 5, 5 and 6. So, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And so our hope that we have, we're not going to be ashamed, because the Holy Ghost, as we believe these doctrines about the cross, we feel His love come into our heart. And when we feel that love lift us up, we can know that, you know, we really have the Spirit. And we're sealed. And this is, and it all has to do with, in verse 6, for when ye were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And when you believe those words about God's love towards you on the cross and the gospel, the Holy Ghost will work in your inner man and lift you up. And you can know that you're, you know, a child of God when you experience that. And that you're sealed. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8, 15 through 17. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And so in verse 16 here, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you can be assured that as you read and study and you grow and you feel the inner man being strengthened, that's the Spirit of God in you, and that's his promise and seal that He's given to you, that you can know that He's going to be there in the end for you and through anything that you go through. And I have this giant roll of duct tape. I don't know if that's the world's largest roll of duct tape or not, but it says Emergency Bridge Repair Team. And, you know, duct tape is, you know, what came to mind about sealing. You know, you put duct tape on something and, you know, it's, you know, just throw some duct tape on it. But 'cause it fixes everything. But that's, you know, the Holy Spirit is much stronger than duct tape, but you know. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 22. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who hath also sealed us and hath and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And remember that last verse, we read how the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And that earnest, that Spirit in our hearts is, you know, we can really know and be assured that and what we're believing in. It's something very real, extremely real. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And here we see that day of redemption again. And so the Holy Spirit is something we have, and it's a part of us, and it grieves when we depart from the Word. But you know what? When you, the moment you turn your faith back upon to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will be there for you, and immediately come to be there to help you. And God's grace is sufficient to help us with any struggles we have and any struggles in the world that it throws at us. And that's why I have this picture of nothing runs like a deer. You know, I don't have a John Deere tractor, but I assume, you know, every time you go to start it, you assume it's going to start, you know, until it doesn't. But that's kind of like the Holy Spirit in us. Every time you really go to the Word, it's going to start, and that should give you assurance in that the inheritance and all the promises that God has promised are going to come to pass. All right, so I talked a little bit about the now, the life that now is. Well, how about the hope that is coming? You know, the hope that we think about a lot, you know, in heaven and things like that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Mr. Tanner's getting a little hot or cold.
They saw me put the jacket on.
Getting a little cold. All right.
I'm just old.
First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And now through Paul, and through his teaching, and the teaching of the Spirit, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, through the words in this book and the doctrine, we can know the things that God has prepared for us. And that's why it's important to understand these mystery truths. And let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. So even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Paul is the one who is making manifest these truths about our hope and our glory, and it's in the mystery. And I have like these presents, you know, they're wrapped and you don't know what they are. And now Paul and his truth is like we're now unwrapping the gifts so that we can see what's inside with the doctrine. And as we open our book and we can unwrap the doctrine that's there, and what does he tell us? He tells us the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we can have Christ living in us and the hope of glory. And let's go to Romans 8, verse 17. I think we're already here. Romans 8, 17 through 18. So, and if children, then ears of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now, that's pretty, it's easy to just kind of read that verse, but that's a really some strong words there. And as children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's you know, we have the royal family here in England. I don't really know the names of, you know, all the people. I know they're in the magazines and all that, all the news about the royalty. But you have heirs. You have, you know, whatever is held by the old, you know, the oldest is when he passes, it's passed down to the next person and to his son. And that would be an heir. And in God's kingdom, what does it say about us? And if children, you know, we're children of God, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And, you know, this is pretty remarkable, you know, truth. And when you really believe this, it should really change your life, of your perspective about yourself and who you are in Christ. And so that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that's that hope of glory that Paul is talking about, that's going to be in the ages to come. And in this present time, what does he say is going to happen? We're going to have sufferings. But what is our hope? It's that glory which shall be revealed in us, that, you know, it's, you can't even imagine, but it's going to be, it's going to be great. And let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in what? In hope of the glory of God. And there again we see that glory of God, of all that he is, and that we are going to be a part of that as heirs of God. It's going to come upon us as well. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's just read verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Here again we see it all starts with the gospel. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's that's a really, really great promise we have there of what's going to come. And it's not our own glory, but it's the glory of the cross, and it's his glory that we hope in, that's going to come onto us. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We just have a couple more verses about it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And our blessings now in the age of grace are not physical. They're not on the earth. They're spiritual, and they're in the heavenly places. And it's in the doctrine, like we just read about this glory in the ear that we have with Christ. And these are great things. And when you believe them and the Spirit works in your heart, that's how you can have this hope of what's coming. You can take part of it now. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And now this is talking about the ages to come. We talked about time past, where we were without hope. We talked about the but now, where now, through the gospel, we have this eternal life that we can have now and then in the ages to come. We have the exceeding riches of His kindness that's going to be towards us. And it all has to do with our position in Christ. And how did we attain that position? From the cross work of Christ, and how our old man was buried and crucified with Him, and when that blood was shed for our sins and took care of all of that, and we were baptized into Him and raised with Him, and now we're seated with Him in heavenly places, and all that, it's already done. And now we can just sit back and believe, and not sit back, but let it work in us to let's see here. We're kind of getting short on time here, but I have a few verses about like the rapture and things, and that we can maybe get into next week, but it's been about our time here. So just to recap, so Lana, put your hope where? In the words, and in God's words, and not in your feelings, not in... and you want to hope in the right words, in Paul's words, and then the gospel is where it starts. And He's given us the Holy Spirit to seal us, and we can really know that we have that hope that's coming, and we can take advantage of it now. So let's close in a word of prayer, and then we'll be done. All right, dear Lord, we thank You for Your words, and that they're very clear and easy for us to understand. And I pray that we can leave here and continue to read the Bible and let it work in our lives. Amen.
Thank you, Luke.
All right. Thanks.